This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare. And
I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering. Oh, yeah.
Presented by the Barstool News Network. It is Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. And boys, are you guys ready? The big weekend's coming up, 4th of July. You got your plans?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite holiday, yeah. Will. It's better than Christmas, Thanksgiving, President's Day. Oh, wow. It's easily the best holiday.
The creme de la creme.
For me. For a guy that likes sun and explosions, cold ones, you really can't beat
true.
It.
It is good.
We're going somewhere, right, Pat?
Yeah, Mark and I, we have our annual, this is our second year, our annual 4th of July trip together. We like to go into the hill country. I think we're going to have some wine this time. We're going to wine country, Mark and I. It's going to be real nice.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Wine country.
Nice romantic vacation for two.
Yeah, we might set up an Instagram account just for it. So keep your eyes peeled.
There's a jacuzzi. There's vineyards. Yeah. It's going to be, there's a backyard with a grill.
You guys going to get some massages? Going to go to a spa?
I might massage Mark. I don't know if he'll return.
I have CBD oil.
How's your back hair right now?
For massage. Not great. My wife, actually, who will be joining us, is she's going to shave my back today.
Okay. Well, if she can't, you know that I'm always, you can always pinch hit.
That's true. I appreciate that. What about you, Will? Nice. What are you doing?
Still on Corona lockdown. So not very, anticlimactic for the 4th of July when everything's about community and loving your fellow Americans.
But I like the plan that you told me off air. I'm kind of stoked on your plan. It sounds good to me.
I mean, I'm going to do like 4th of July at home, you know, dogs, fancy drinks, whatever else. But that's, you know.
You treat yourself at home, though, Will. That's what
spoiler,
I like.
Spoiler alert. We'll talk about our favorite 4th of July stuff on tomorrow's podcast. Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow's podcast is going to be. Gonna be just nice.
Yeah, it'll be fine. Just fine. But today we've got all the top stories coming at you for Thursday. And Mark, get us going with those.
All right, guys. Well, let's just start off the show with an update on the two presidential candidates. The current sitting president, Donald Trump, and the presumptive Democratic candidate, Joe Biden. What have those spry young men been up to this week, right?
Right? Yeah, probably not being scared of coronavirus because they're so unlikely to be affected by it because they're so young and spry.
I like how neither one of them.
Jack be nimble, Jack be quick.
Neither one of them will get tested for coronavirus.
No. Trump gets tested every day.
Does
Biden has never got. Oh, Biden has never gotten tested.
What is that?
Which was the weirdest thing ever in his speech.
Biden was like, "No, I don't." But everyone around me,
he's like, "I want everybody else in America to be tested yesterday, but me, I don't need a test."
He's just flexing his king shit. That's king shit right there.
No, it's just that made no sense. That was poorly planned. Which
that is not. That is not good. Both Biden and Trump have a little bit of "do as I say, not as I do" type.
Right, the masks and the testing, but they both have it in reverse. It's weird. It's like Trump gets tested every day but won't wear a mask. Biden will wear a mask but refuses to get tested, even though he wants everybody to get tested. It's insane.
Yeah, if you could just mold them together, you'd have one semi-okay old man.
Yeah, that's true.
Instead of
would you? I think it would make for a worse candidate.
I don't know. But let's start with Trump. Was he briefed or not on the Russian bounties on American soldiers' heads in Afghanistan, right? The big thing, was he or not? So Trump said he wasn't, which is corroborated, has been corroborated by National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, who said the CIA advisor who is responsible for giving Trump his presidential daily briefs or PDBs did not choose to tell him about the Russian bounties because they weren't 100% sure of the accuracy of the intelligence. So they decided to apparently... this is a theme where they err on the side of caution and not say bad news about Russia to Trump in that administration is the rumor. Like, unless you have concrete evidence that Russia's doing something, don't waste your time telling Trump that Russia's fucking around. But hey, O'Brien says the CIA advisor didn't tell him. Trump says the CIA advisor didn't tell him. He's now been briefed, but that he wasn't briefed at the time. So
not until the New York Times put out their article to tell everybody about it.
Right, yeah, because someone asked Biden in the during his speech, right, and then Biden went after Trump saying, "Well, you got to read your PBDs. It's a dereliction of duty if you don't. But it,
correct.
Correct. Oh, yeah, well, so, the VP only reads the PBDs, to be fair. I mean, like, what else does the VP do besides masturbate in his office?
He did say he read those PDBs for 8 years
yeah,
straight.
I read them twice a day, actually.
Short day.
I read them three times a day. I had plenty of time.
Short day for those guys.
Well, what happened is, yeah, it's now, but now a lot of people are saying he totally should have been briefed on that, and they don't, you know, believe it. It's a he said, she said. It's really a he said, he didn't versus, you know, she said he's bullshitting us. Or a press secretary, Kayleigh McEnany, versus the New York Times, as Will mentioned. She came out defending Trump this week and said that Trump does, in fact, read when defending the president.
That was a great quote.
Yeah, because she's defending the president when they asked why he didn't read the daily briefings like his past seven predecessors have. Instead, he opts for oral briefings. He's an audiobooks
guy. He's a books on tape guy.
Yeah,
he's a books on tape guy. You telling me W read every PDB?
Well, his administration at least said he did. The news was he
I'm sure
said
Obama
he did.
Read every single word of every single one.
I mean, look, we all know.
So did Clinton. And
I think they all take it orally. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah. We all know when you're at work and there's, you know, in your day job, or whatever, and you have like a daily email, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks in, you're like, ah, I don't want to read this anymore. But it's pretty important. Right. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, it is.
Treat it like
there's
a memo.
A lot of important stuff
from accounting.
In there. They're daily briefs, right?
I got the gist.
So Biden, like Pat said that whether or not Trump was briefed, he's derelict of his duties, that he should have been briefed. And if he was briefed, he's unfit to be president. That was one of the least confusing parts of the Biden speech from this week, which I'll get to a little later. Last thing for Trump, on Wednesday, he called New York City's decision to paint Black Lives Matter on Fifth Avenue right outside the Trump Tower a symbol of hate, is what he called the Black Lives Matter.
Come on. Weird choice of words there for the Times, huh?
Come on.
Yeah, he didn't really use symbol of hate for other things like in Charlottesville or any of that stuff. But hey, you know what happened here? Do you know what happened here? They painted Black Lives Matter in huge font leading up to the White House, and that really pissed him off.
And now they're going out to Trump Tower.
In Trump Tower, and now he's like, okay, that's it.
Renaming the streets Black Lives Matter Plaza just to piss him off, too. But, like, I mean,
They got the reaction they wanted out of him. a very busy Kayleigh, the press secretary, said, what the president was noting in that symbol when you look at some of the things that have been chanted by Black Lives Matter is things like pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon. That's not an acceptable phrase to paint on our streets. Then she added, the president thinks all Black Lives Matter.
She added all before. You know what? Kayleigh's really, she's been grinding my gears, but I will say, what a delight she would be to have in an argument with your partner, or your girlfriend, or your wife, right? Like Kayleigh arguing on your behalf. You wouldn't lose because she figures out a way to, she's spin zone city. She's
amazing. She's an amazing press secretary. She's already done Trump as the Antifa president. Now she has morphed. All Lives Matter and Black Lives Matter.
She added it all to it. Yeah.
You know what she's like? She's like,
innovating the game of press secretary.
You know, like sometimes you, maybe you'll be on the street and like a crazy looking homeless guy takes issue with you. But he's so fucking crazy. You're like, no way I'm touching that. He's so intense. That's what Kayleigh's like. She comes out so intense that you're just like, whoa, okay. All right.
She's prepared too.
She's in the eyes. Yeah. She's very prepared.
She'd be like a corner preacher where she has the memorized scripture. Like, ready
to
go.
She's good. Rudy Giuliani got in on the action saying, Black Lives Matter is a Marxist organization. So great job there, Rudy, who decided to get in the mix. Now go ahead and head back to your scotch, buddy.
Scotch would kill
him. The police.
Yeah, what are you doing? I don't know. He hasn't been in the media recently, so he had to shout something about Black Lives Matter.
Toss it in there.
Yeah. Back to Biden. Biden gave a live speech this week as everyone on his campaign staff tried to not overdose on Xanax. That's got to be one of the more stressful moments in your life. A campaign leadership role for Biden in 2020 on speech day. That's a tough day.
Oh, we saw a preview of it when he did the Breakfast Club interview, and whoever was his press secretary kept trying to get him off the interview. But you could hear the concern in the guy's voice. We're really out of time. We really got to get him.
Well, this speech ended the exact same way.
Do you think I should know this, but do you think they only hire bald people? Because they're going to lose their hair if they're on the Biden, you know.
I mean, they only hire people that last a week because nobody can get him off stage when he starts rambling.
Yeah, he needs a hook. You got to get that guy a hook.
They need a literal Apollo hook to get him off the stage.
Well, guess what, guys? He stumbled a lot in his speech. And then after he stumbled through his speech, he took several softball questions from the media before apologizing for leaving.
The question round is my favorite part. Let's open it up to questions. Wait, maybe Mike C. from MSBC is here. Like, it was so scripted. It was so scripted. Because then
the journalist was like,
oh,
I guess that'll work. Like, the journalist was taking it back.
Pat, they were, it was scripted, 100% scripted, and they were trying to act like it was totally not scripted. It was so weird.
It's like a magic show. He's like, I'll just pick someone randomly out of the crowd.
Right, and but he was too, like, and too not aware. He couldn't run it. He couldn't convince people that it wasn't scripted.
I will say, though, the last question before he walked off stage, I did appreciate where the guy was like, hey, Joe, you've been tested for cognitive decline? And he's like, I test it all the time. Bye.
I'll do a cognitive off. Yeah.
The answer. I can't wait to cognitive myself versus Donald Trump's cognitive.
That's why we're declaring they should have an academia decathlon, which would be incredible. But I feel like one of the questions for Biden on the speech day should be, do you remember what the last question asked you before this was?
Ooh.
Do you really want to kill the man on national television?
Stumper.
Yeah.
You want to see his head explode?
I'd like to know if he remembered it. Apparently, he will be doing the rest of his campaign remotely due to COVID. Yep. So back to
not
the basement
even, not
forever.
Not even going to go out of the bunker. Just
back to the basement forever for
it's
him.
It's a perfect storm of shit. What?
Yeah, it's not great, right? The two candidates. Yeah. So it's back to the basement forever for him. He did say he would participate in, I guess, three presidential debates is what I heard. Please, God, make that happen. But we'll have to wait and see on that. And that is the update for the candidates.
Thanks, Mark.
Wow.
All right, guys. So Hong Kong is pretty much over, unfortunately. Late Tuesday night, the Chinese government passed a new national security law that more or less bitches Hong Kong into being Chinese's or China's permanent living girlfriend again. It's a slow step, but it is a step towards that happening. Guys, they chose July 1st because it was a triple anniversary of terrible shit. July 1st to pass this bill, namely the formation of the Communist Chinese Party, the handover of Hong Kong from Britain to China in 1997, and a break in the city's legislature by pro-democracy activists in 2019. So turn in the knife there.
Wow, July 1st, big day.
Yeah, big day for fascism, or communism in this case.
Big day. Yeah, and for those of you guys who suffered from an undiagnosed attention deficit disorder in high school like I did, Hong Kong is a special administrative region of China with its own supposedly independent government. That's what the protests have been about as of late. Guys, the law specifically...
Right, but that's how they've been...
until July 1st.
But there was always like a deadline at that. It wasn't a forever thing.
Right.
When they were handed back over, it was a lease, exactly.
Yeah, so July 1st, Willie, is the start of a slippery slope. That's what's going on with this law. And guys, the law calls out specifically acts of secession, subversion of state power, terrorist activities, and collusion with foreign or external forces to endanger national security. That's what the law read. That's what's illegal now. Certain penalties...
It's the end of like the two system essentially.
It's
right?
pretty much because saying like, that Hong Kong can no longer criticize the Chinese government. Hong Kongers,
they're now under rule of mainland China in terms of their speech and everything else.
Exactly. Penalties, guys, go all the way to life in prison, mostly, and in certain cases, death. But what is life in communist China, if not life in prison? Guys, the law supersedes any and all local law and includes a...
I bet it's a lot better than life in prison, that's for sure.
This is tough. This is going to be tough. I wonder how... This is going to suck for like the people that, you know, have been very outspoken, the protesters. It's going to be hard for them to transition quickly. And then what about the people that maybe do just try to keep quiet now? Are they going to go dig up their social medias?
Is it going to be canceled?
100%.
Are they going to go? Is China going to go backwards in time and say, well, this guy talked shit 2 years ago, we're going to
communism canceled?
So almost overnight,
that sucks.
A number of political parties disbanded. A number of shops, well, pretty much all shops removed all anti-Chinese government sentiment banners, postcards, all this stuff that they were kind of selling during the Hong Kongers protest. And yes, people are going through their social media and deleting old posts for fear of prosecution.
I recommend that. I highly recommend that. Knowing Chinese government, they're going to come for that ass.
Yeah, the law includes a cute little provision as well that allows the Secretary of Justice, whom I guess handles justice's schedule, to deny trial by jury to anyone he or she wants to. So pretty much if you fuck up, you fucked. In response, though, guys, the U.S. Senate passed the Toomey Hong Kong Autonomy Act, which will impose mandatory sanctions on entities that violate China's obligation to Hong Kong under the Joint Declaration. So that's the law that essentially allows Hong Kong to be independent. We also banned exporting defense exports to Hong Kong, and this is out of security concerns. So we're not sending them any military technology or any software technology because we're afraid that now China's got their dirty little fingers inside of them. They'll steal it from us. And we also canceled Hong Kong's preferential trade status.
Oh, yeah. Because they're now part of China, like officially, not so much so that this is how far it's gone. There's people being arrested on the street for just having free Hong Kong flags.
Right. So yesterday, police made their first arrest of a man holding a banner read Hong Kong independence. He's in jail now.
That's back it. To the NBA thing. I hope that a few of the players put something about Hong Kong on their jerseys.
They won't. They won't be allowed to.
I know. They won't.
How much does China own of the NBA? Or is it just that they have such a huge market for the NBA?
It's a big market for the NBA.
Merch.
Ever since Yao Ming. Yao Ming made a huge over.
Can I write a check?
Can I write a check? It sucks for Hong Kong. We knew this day was coming, but it's sad for them.
It's over for them. What's up with the Chop?
Boys, the Chop had a good run, but as we alluded to earlier this week, the Chaz Chop in Seattle is finally done. It's officially done now. Seattle's mayor, Jenny Durkin.
By the way, sorry to interrupt, but Hong Kong, way sadder than the Chop ending.
Oh, well, yeah, that was an actual, real community. The Chop
shouldn't even be in the same show that we're talking about the Chop ending the same day that we're talking about Hong Kong ending.
I refuse for you to disparage the Chop from being community.
Pat, Summer I'm just Love about Will. To disparage the Chop only in this next 5 minutes. So.
Well, I don't, that's what I'm saying, but it's a community, okay?
No.
Pat's a Chop guy.
You want to hear how easy it was to disband the Chop? Listen to this shit. Okay. So Seattle's mayor, Jenny Durkin, finally declared an emergency like early Wednesday morning to deputize the use of police force to clear out and reestablish the Chop as part of Seattle, Greater Seattle. Okay. So why did she do that now? She just now does it. Well, because the Chop devolved into a lawless zone where criminal activity was thriving and it was very, very dangerous. People were getting shot left and right. It was terrible.
She yelled free hot water over here.
Yeah.
That's all it took.
Right. No. Well, all it took, Mark, was 31 arrests for failing to disperse and some volunteers in orange jackets cleaning up the trash out of the Chop like they were waiters kicking you out of a restaurant that had closed and everybody fucking left.
They play Classic. Closing Time. Closing Time by Third Eye Blind or the Frank Sinatra song.
The Chop folded with restaurant treatment. They just hadn't done it.
They're sweeping around you. They're mopping around you.
Seattle is a joke, dude. That's ridiculous. All they had to do was restaurant treat them, and they would leave, and they didn't do it for like a fucking month.
They turned on New York, and muscle memory. They just walked out.
Yeah.
Do you need anything else? Or are you okay?
Okay. Yeah, here's your bill.
I'm going to put the check $0 here whenever you're ready. Okay, whenever. No rush.
Right. So nothing changes, by the way. Mayor Durkin, she finally took a stand, but the protesters obviously are still pissed. They're like, we're going to come back in a different area some other day.
Please
Mayor Durkin,
don't.
Thanks. Well, I mean, it's so silly. All you had to do was do the restaurant and everybody's gone. And then anyhow.
But we knew that. We knew that like the day that they decided to end it was going to end. They were just letting them have their little fun for a while.
Don't hate on it. It's cool that this experiment happened. It didn't work and it was never going to, but it's cool that it happened.
It was dumb. It was dumb. Taking it back to the East Coast, New York City is making actual moves by slashing $1 billion in New York Police Department funding and replacing it with notably less than $1 billion in other community programs in New York City, putting education departments in charge of some things that cops used to be in charge of. And it basically seems like everybody is upset by this. City officials like AOC and others want deeper cuts to defund the police because they're legitimately wanting to defund them entirely, while the NYPD is obviously livid for having $1 billion taken away. And the only person who seems really happy is Mayor Bill de Blasio for getting to replace $1 billion police dollars with like $850 million other dollars, less than $1 billion, basically saved money.
Oh, he's going to blow it. He's going to blow that $850 million on some bullshit.
And so, mind you, this is being done in New York City while shootings are surging. well above normal rates at the moment.
So interesting thing. I heard an interview with a police commissioner the other day, and I think the big challenge of the debate that's happening with the defunding of the police is you know, right, we get it. Like, what they want to do is, like, hire social workers and therapists to handle things that police shouldn't have to handle, right? But I think most police are upset because they're generally at max capacity when they're on the job. So they're sitting there saying, like, how are you going to take some of us away?
When
we're already overworked.
Yeah.
Oh, tons. Yeah. It's gonna remove people from the streets for sure. Uniformed officers. And that brings me to my final point. I finally watched Waco on Netflix.
That's a good one, right?
Great. A good docuseries. Nobody, when we were kids, was willing to talk about Waco, and now I understand why. It was so fucked up.
Yeah. Basically, FBI.
ATF. ATF mainly, but FBI after that really also.
Well, yeah, the
up.
ATF was the first shooting of the door, but the fire I'm talking
giant
about.
Giant fuck up. Giant yeah. fuck up that could have been totally avoided with a simple culture change at the federal law enforcement level in that situation. All they had to do was not defund anybody, but just listen to Michael Shannon instead of the other people and not blindly attack American civilians. So maybe people should shift their focus in law enforcement to putting Michael Shannon peoples in charge instead of the never-ending debate about what the fuck you should regulate or fund or whatever. Maybe just get, like, level-headed people that don't want to attack civilians in charge.
Yeah. Did you watch the dramatized version or the doc?
I don't know. The one on Netflix.
The one with Michael Shannon. The one with Michael Shannon. Yeah, the one with Riggs from Friday Night.
You know what's interesting is they wanted to make that in Texas. And the Texas has a film incentive, and Texas would not give the film incentive because it portrayed Texas in a negative light. So they had to make it.
Yeah, I was
going to
say because it didn't look like Waco, right?
Yeah, it's so bullshit. Yeah, and they didn't let the work come here because it was like, oh, we don't like. We don't
so
like
where
to
are they filming
this part.
It's not that hard to rebuild a farm in a barn, guys. Not
well,
that
yeah,
hard.
But the grass looks like it would look different
grass.
Than Texas.
Yeah, I agree. Whatever. Will. Different
whatever.
Grass.
You guys are nuts. Okay.
Why
it
hate
was
grass,
a good show though. I mean, I don't hate grass. I think the set looked fine. Hey, guys, this is Tuesday. This Tuesday, a man in Santa Cruz, California, lost his mind, but amazingly not his life. It all started in the afternoon when police got reports that a lunatic was firing a gun in the air. And the man decided it was in for a penny, in for a pound time when he took his act to the road by carjacking someone at gunpoint, the same gun he was firing into the air. But he didn't sit on their laps and have them drive while he was on their laps like that other guy. He gave the person he stole the car from the courtesy of leaving them on the side of the road while he took off. So at least he did that, which was nice.
So but like a
professional. That's
proper
pro.
Carjacking.
That's
real
pro.
Carjacking. Old school carjacking. Yeah. The nut job then took speeds to over 100 miles per hour into the Santa Cruz city and neighborhoods because, again, he was turned up to 11 that day and he was staying there at this point. It got so dangerous that the cops just had to call off the chase completely because they're like, this is way too dangerous to be following him for the community. We have to just let him go.
Dude, that is next level criminal shit. Like, that is when you peak as a criminal, when the cops have to back off your high speed chase because you're too erratic. Like, that's when you know you chose the right path and you are at the top of your game in your field.
I don't want to hear about someone that you know, I had a great high speed. I led them on a great high speed chase. Did they fucking back off?
Yeah, it's like being knighted by the police.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but it is. But you have to survive it for it to really be badass.
No, top.
No. Because if you just go out in a blaze of glory like that, you're literally just like flaming out. That's it.
Well,
that
was look.
Yeah, but
Will's
on
to something there.
Okay,
Will's on to something there though. It was too dangerous for them, you know, so they called it off. But it was so dangerous, in fact, that the man Thelman Louised himself off a cliff at 100 miles per hour and into the Pacific Ocean.
Fuck yes.
And unlike Bodie at the end of Point Break, though, he survived the crashing waves, crawled up the cliff's edge to his immediate arrest, which I'm sure required a good deal of wrestling.
Okay, pretty badass.
Yeah, right off the cliff at 100 miles an hour. There's video of like the Jeep he stole, like doing flips in the waves, and he got out of the car, climbed up the rock cliff, and got arrested. And was like, "Fuck you!" And like,
yeah, that's not all he did. He also secured himself a fucking book deal because I want to hear about this guy's life. That is awesome.
What drove him there? I have, yeah, like a lot of like unpaid bills, angry girlfriends. I don't know. Like, how old is he?
It didn't give a lot of personal information about the man. but I mean, if he can just harness this energy and steer it towards good, who knows what he can do, you know? He's talented.
All right, guys, real quick. My old friends at Delta Airlines, they're at it again, guys. Yeah, you may remember back in February when Delta's terribly engineered reclining seats destroyed my laptop by crushing the screen. Right? When asshole in seat 11A fully reclined while I was doing important work, building fake campaign ads for Mark, destroying my lifeline by no fault of my own whatsoever.
It also ruined Mark's coronavirus czar campaign.
No, it was timely. Well, we were going to go viral. I was really proud of the ads.
And I would argue America, because it hasn't gone so well for us with COVID, has it?
Anyway, they never did pay for my computer. So Delta announced, guys, it'd be further distancing itself from the working man on Tuesday with a statement via their website indicating that they would, in fact, be bringing back alcohol service on their flights effective today. But those that need alcohol...
Where did it go?
Well, if you guys are good people, unlike myself, and haven't flown on an airplane in the last few months, airlines enacted a policy of not offering food and beverage service in an attempt to limit the spread of COVID. Right, but now, right. So no one was. They give you a bag when you walk on with like a water and a pretzel, and even in first class. But now,
Could you bring your own drinks on? Like before, like if you went to the store and got like a Sprite, were you allowed to drink? You bring your own food.
Well, that's always technically been not.
Yeah,
allowed.
I think that's
you had to sneak that below the.
Right? You could bring in not alcoholic stuff, but always. I am getting to that next step, Will. Where I'm going to bring airplane bottles.
Well, of course.
Too,
what are you going to bring? Just a ginger ale?
No,
not
I'm going to bring the bottle
to go with.
Right,
it?
I'm going to pour the vodka in the Sprite. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, totally. Well, anyway, guys, back to the story. Delta's fucking the working man because they're bringing alcohol back, but not for those that need alcohol the most. The everyman stuck in the back middle seat surrounded by inconsiderate babies will not be eligible to turn up at 30,000 feet because the alcohol service will only be available to first class and Delta Plus passengers.
I'm not flying until that changes.
I agree.
That's ridiculous. I'm not flying until the people on coach can get booze. That's ridiculous.
I don't know.
What don't you know, Mark? I agree. You stand in solidarity. It's like people that refuse to get married until gay marriage was passed. I'm on that train.
It's exactly like that.
You guys are saying Delta needs to treat coach the same. I don't know about that. I think that maybe that this is just
they're not
capitalism.
Giving the drinks away, Will. Okay. How
well,
is capitalism?
Yeah, that you still got. Wait, they're giving the drinks away in first class.
Yeah, but you got to pay that with your
the
ticket.
Premium.
Delta
you got to pay
Comfort
the premium.
Comfort Plus, they're still to pay for the drinks. The guys in the back can't even buy them.
Time out. If they got the booze on board and
they're opening
the bottles,
you're
and
telling
pouring
me
the
they
drinks.
Stop serving the drinks at row 13?
Let me lay down what a Delta flight is for you guys.
That's exactly what we're saying.
Fuck. I thought it was just first class. First class, I'm okay with.
No, Comfort Plus, too. That's main cabin. That's main cabin to row 13.
That's not acceptable, man. You're going to see these people getting their screwdrivers.
Imagine
while you're
being
getting
in seat 14.
Driven. Yeah. Whoa. Fuck that. No. Not flying.
To further complicate things, these assholes aren't even offering liquor. Just beer and wine. But that's a whole other sack of potatoes.
But still, the guy in front of you, if you're the first person in non-economy plus, and the guy in front of you is just... like sipping his ice cold beer, just like loving it.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, and we're
going to
get into that.
I'm going to be on a viral video the first time I'm going flying and that happens.
Right. Guys, these bourgeoisie assholes, they made a statement saying, "We take pride in always listening to our customers and we know beer and wine are the adult beverages our customers want." Yeah, in the fucking back of the plane, you idiots. This is bullshit.
You need more. Yeah, you need them more.
Yeah, I imagine pretty soon Delta's going to be seeing a lot less hunting rifles and a lot more golf clubs in their oversized baggage hold. To add insult to injury, guys, these enemies of the working class have the audacity to offer Miller Lite as one of their beer options. Come on. You know, like, imagine being the fat guy in 32E, and you look down the aisle and you see the one percenters in first class just sipping a cold Miller Lite with their pinkies up while they enjoy the New Yorker magazine.
And then, having, a disgusted face while they're doing their crossword puzzle.
You're just
I don't
in
even
the back
like Miller Lite.
Sober, getting coughed on by an infant. It's funny.
You bring up an interesting point, though, what they should do, and this might be fun for the people in the back, is only offer Natty Ice.
Yeah.
To the first like 20 rows.
It should be Edward 40 hands.
That actually be
and then,
great.
And then if you have Edward 40 hands and your hands are taped, it prevents the germs because you're not shaking anyone's hands. They should just immediately when you get in there, they should strap you up with 240s.
Delta, I'm just saying, guys, I'm not re-upping my SkyMiles club membership. Not doing it. I'm going to stay out of the lounge. And once my silver status expires this year, I'm not trying for gold any longer. I'm moving on.
Good call. The airlines have proven to be very tone deaf during coronavirus. Time and time again, and this is just another one of those examples.
Do you know who sits in economy class, guys? Essential workers. You fucking assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me as well. All of us.
You guys are essential to me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. But I would pay probably for the first class if that was the only place where you
could. Dude, I bought three first class tickets first time in my life when I traveled during COVID because I didn't want to be in the fucking back. No booze. I got screwed on three flights, no booze, bro. And like,
it's amazing you've been on three first class flights with no booze. And no you're booze. Like the only person.
You're like, why even there?
Delta's going to become like the opposite of Southwest, where it's only first class because of this. Like they just have to extend their first class to every seat because everyone's going to pay to get the booze.
Yeah, well, but you need the seat too. I'm not paying for just the booze. I need the whole experience.
Some elitist shit. Well, let's check and see what's going on in your airline, Willie. I know that you're a United loyalist. I mean, like, I might come over.
Oh no! I cut ties with them long ago. I'm now just whoever's the cheapest on that day.
Freelance.
Sounds like we need to start an airline.
Free agent. Yeah.
Maybe so.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Freedom.
No lawsuits in that. No lawsuits in that when the plane goes down.
Right. Not that's an easy business.
Yeah, we'd start with old planes, Mark, but you got to start somewhere.
Let's move it on to a guy who does not need to worry about what airline he's going to fly because he has a lot of his own private jets, and that's Kim Jong-un. Mm. And you knew it wasn't going to be long after he got out of the first pleasure cruise he was on, hiding out from the coronavirus, that the North Korean dictator was going to have to make a little bit of noise to remind the world he's still there, he's not dead from the coronavirus, he's just on a pleasure cruise, and he's done it.
Are you sure that they have jets in North Korea yet? We need to fact check that, but
he's got to have at least one plane.
He has them.
I don't.
Yeah, he's got.
Man, I would blow some minds for the North Koreans if they saw a metal bird overhead. They
he's got at least one. He's got at least one Pan Am plane that he bought in an auction somewhere. But earlier this month, Kim Jong-un exploded a liaison office in Kaesong, just north of the border with South Korea, in response to a barrage of pamphlets that groups from South Korea were literally raining down on North Korea. So there's a propaganda technique that the two Koreas have been using against each other since the Korean War, which is to float over pamphlets, balloons like that have pamphlets in them, and then they just drop all over the other country. So like
that was like what they did for the in Cuba, the people in Miami, the anti-Fidel Castro people, they would fly over and drop pamphlets. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So they've been propagandizing each other like this across the border for a long time. But what was so bad about this particular propaganda that has Kim Jong-un upset and making noise? Well, it was Photoshopped nudes of his wife.
No.
So,
that's diabolical.
Shit. Yeah, pretty bad. Really bad. So understandably,
That's high school level shit. That's awesome.
Oh, my God. You're going to get a reaction out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. So in response, he blew up his own building, like I was saying. The building that was supposed to be like a sign of friendship with South Korea. He just exploded it. Demolitioned
he blew
it.
Up the friendship building.
Yeah. And then he sent more of his troops to the border and announced that he'd be picking back up his military exercises in anticipation of some sort of conflict with his southern neighbor very
holy
soon.
Holy shit. Guys, why did they do that?
You know what this is, right? Kim Jong-un didn't give a shit about the pamphlets. He's just been on that goddamn pleasure cruise and he needed to have a grand gesture to show his wife he was still engaged. This was a relationship saving gesture.
You think he's been coming down forever.
I just love you so much and I get so mad. I'm going to blow that building up.
That makes total sense. He blew up the friendship building for her because he's so mad.
For
sure. They disrespected her. That makes sense.
I agree with that, Pat. And also, that's why I was saying, like, it's a combo, right? He's upset, obviously. He doesn't want Photoshop nudes of his wife running around. But he also needs to make a statement, right?
Like, yeah, because it was a harem.
Do you think it was an inside job? Do you think it was like a fake float over the zone and it was just like a North Korean that did it?
We'd have to look at the quality of the Photoshopping to really tell.
Has South Korea said anything about it?
No. I haven't seen anything. The Russian ambassador, I think, is the guy who said that the Photoshopping was of low quality. But I didn't get that
conspiracy.
We need to look it up. But part of me wonders if this could all just be solved by like getting Kim Jong-un like the Stouffer's mac and cheese tap that they're making. Ooh. Get him an early model of that. Or like maybe just send over pamphlets of him with his head on Mandingo's body. I feel like Kim Jong-un would, you'd go for either of those. Second Piranha take something. Taking it to the internet, Famine on Mars says a king defending his honor, which I mean, like nudes of your wife. Like that's, yeah, I get he's a dictator, but I mean, you got to kind of understand that a little bit to be upset.
Oh, absolutely. Nudes of your wife is that's a fight. Guys, that's fighting words.
Okay, so the North Korean dictator did this after a shitty collage job of his wife. Imagine a deep fake of his wife. He's going to go
like a real. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
You don't want his finger near the button on that day. And then Abe Beam, he says, like, tit for tat.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But even with all that, Kim Jong-un hasn't been spotted in public in weeks. So he just made this ruckus, blew up the building, and then went back underground. Rumors of his death are swirling again, despite him definitely just being on another pleasure cruise. So don't get too excited.
If this wasn't like a inside job, I would just love to see footage of him when he found out about it.
Oh, yeah. Bro. It got me thinking, you know what might be a more cutting
he was angry.
Than like your wife banging someone else is you banging your wife, but making the dick smaller and having her not being satisfied. Leaking footage of you not satisfying your wife.
Like creating a fake one? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's coming up. They can make bad porns of you, like a fake bad
porn. Yeah, they defaked my dick.
What is this? My dick is so much bigger than this.
Sure, Kim Jong-un. Sure.
Also, Mark, I know what you're saying. Like, Kim, of all people, he would have an all-time shocked face.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he might just poop his pants right there because he knows that, like, after the embarrassment of pooping his pants in front of people, his reaction is going to be so intense that no one's going to talk shit about him pooping his pants.
I bet he grew an inch. I bet it shook him out of his growth spurt. It was probably intense for him.
He might have like lost some teeth. They might have popped out of his face.
He definitely shot a staff member. That's a guarantee.
Yeah, exactly. He definitely shot the first person that walked in front of him.
Yeah, his eyes just get like so wide, and his head turns just like bright red. Like
you can't deliver that news. You can't be the person delivering that news.
Mm-mm. Calling sick that day.
Yeah.
They need to get China needs to bug his little room there and then release the footage of his best reactions because I bet they are
gold. Yeah, that's the type of news you send in your office enemy to deliver.
That's a viral video.
Jerry said he wanted to hear from you.
People keep like trying to shove it under his door so he discovers it himself. No one can actually tell him that, you know?
Oh.
I think the only safe way is if we have Rodman do this.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, they should. I mean, they need to just like get Rodman on payroll so he's over there all the time, just so he can do everything that's going to upset Kim Jong-un. Yeah. Because it seems to be the only, he's like the whisperer, the KJU whisperer.
He's like, it's probably a deep fake. Don't worry. I know. I've seen your dick. It's bigger than that. It's okay. It's probably a deep fake.
All right. And that's going to do it for Hard Factor today. Thank you, as always, for listening. We've got another show for you tomorrow, celebrating the 4th of July, because unlike other podcasts who might quit on you, like a bunch of communist Nazis going gets tough.
Yeah, when you need them the most on 4th of July week.
Yeah, when you really got to have that entertainment on your holiday week. Well, we here at Hard Factor take our daily entertainment seriously in getting you the content you need, even on a holiday week. So that's why we got another great show for you tomorrow, celebrating the importance of the 4th of July. And speaking of that, please drop us a 5-star review on iTunes. Support the boys with the Hard Factor merch buy at the Barstool Store. Follow us on social at Hard Factor Mark, at Hard Factor Pat, at Hard Factor Will, and at Hard Factor Wes. And most importantly, have a great fucking Thursday.